today we are going to start by listening to the question. Today's HSC, Mr. Saope has been appointed as a member of the portfolio committee.
He's just appointed now?
Yeah, as a member of the committee.
What
was
doing all along here?
He was just attending as a member of parliament. We are not the best of the decision. So in terms of rule 158, we're going to elect chairperson. The procedure that we're going to follow is that I'm going to ask members to nominate a member of the committee to be elected as a chairperson. If that member, if one member is nominated, it means that member will be duly elected chairperson of the committee. But if there are two members elected, it means that we're going to vote, the member with the most vote will be the chairperson of the committee. So I'm going to call for nomination. Mr. Chauke has been nominated as the chair of the committee. Any seconder? Ma'am Nisi?
I second the nomination of Mr. Chauke.
Members have seconded. Any other nomination? No.
I don't
know. Okay, so there is no other nomination. It means that Mr. Saoka, you have been duly elected the chairman of the committee. You can come to try and take over the chairman of the committee.
Give him a photo of what you
want. Yeah, no photo.
No.
Thank you very much, members, for putting this trust on me. Members of this Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. By the way, this is my second return to this Portfolio Committee. When I joined Parliament in 1994, this was my first portfolio committee. On the leave of this committee, I ended up being a chair for many years with the most controversial legislation that we have been in. Infectionary, alteration of statute, the Civil Union Bill, the Immigration Act, and many other civil publications. Those are some of the decisions that we processed. Today we sit back and we look at the awareness how much we have done so much in this contribution to the strengthening of the movement. We're doing the legacy, so part of the department that but therefore, Congress, we're not going to waste much time because there's so much that needs to be done. I would want us to zoom directly into the agenda of the meeting. The welcome stories and all that we just put inside. I'm already involved in the portfolio committee, you know, that I've been attending. So I know what are the issues. So for us, we just to take it where we left it last night, yesterday, after the, you know, when we adjourned. We have very few apologies that are required. There's an apology from DJ Nkomo, Zabuza, and then Figla, Honorable Figla, Zabuza, and Nkomo. These are the three members that have apologized. I don't have reasons why they have apologized, but this is what I did.
Yeah. No, I'm aware
that the number of members, one of the Ghana, will be attending the portfolio, another member will be attending. We will try and just defer, because we don't have much but we've got very important issues, but we don't have much. What we'll then do, members, is that we'll then move straight to the amendment. Remember yesterday, we were talking about the bill that was tabled before us, the immigration bill. Yes, ma'am. I'm aware that more than four members will be leaving us until other commitment. So let's try, because our target then will be 11 o'clock. I have my mind set up to write what time do we want to leave, but let's try and push it in speed here. But we don't have much issues. That issues that we left to deal with mostly is the issue of the bill that has been tabled, which is the bill of the committee. And yesterday in our discussion, already members were zooming into some kind of a correction and comment. But what was important to all of us is that in the process, this is what is important first. Because we're still going to have a lot of time to deal with the detail of that bill. What is critical is for us to deal with the process. Because this bill is not a normal bill that comes from the government. That just tabled the process, and then just tabled parliament, and then parliament then does. So it's a bill that is initiated by the committee bill. That is why it had to go through the legislature for approval, that this committee be authorized to bring in amendments on section 34 of the immigration bill, right? Of the immigration act. So in that note, therefore, committee section would have to vote with the committee, would have to help us with that process. Once all of us understand the process, we can then put together in progress how, therefore, now we then deal with the amendments, corrections, and never ever refer this bill to the department. So the department is our being of the committee. So we have a right to take the part as much as we want. That speak to the principle of what it is that we are meaning, so that we don't get that much from the pressing that the Constitutional Court has within the department, both the department and parliament. Okay. So that is the point number four that we have been. So I thought that was going to help us into the process. But you'll help us with the process. Okay, let us deal with the issue of the process. And then from there we can then start the comment. But in that process we'll then deal with issues of public comment. And then public hearing. And then we might have public hearing. And then from there, the way for the public hearing, then we do a deliberation now. Committee deliberation, and then we go to that floor, communicate the amendments, by this process. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members.
And introduce yourself again with the name so that you are on record. We don't have the recording system here.
Are we on
hand back then?
Because
there's
no recording. Everything
was
wrong
yesterday,
but we're recording
by parameters. We're going to rely on the slide.
Yeah, we don't have the recording.
Can you know, but we do have it. We'll call this device.
Yeah,
no, it's not yours. That is not yours. So how are you going to capture the evaluation? You must go on record. This is going to be so as soon as this is not going to be taken. Tell us.
No, the problem is that our meeting was supposed to be on Tuesday, yesterday. So this venue, it was the only venue which was available to have this meeting. So the only option that we have now is for me to take minutes.
You know, Parliament does not have the recording device.
No.
Parliament?
Yeah.
in of course.
I'll get that.
Part of the committee.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you agree, therefore, that the recording will be done, but
yes.
Is it in your personal cell phone? You'll be carrying the assets of Parliament. And you'll be selling the scene to us. Let's agree that you're not going to sell it to Parliament. And this information will not be used anywhere else except in the Committee of Parliament for the purpose of the work of Parliament. I think it's very important. So that we have to clean up personal cell phone so that it does not get started somewhere and then this one says this, the other one says this. Not this. Because at some point it may be a subject for the court process. So there's new and matters that are caught with the admission. So that's how we see it. And I think I want to emphasize this one. Parliament must be a very unique place. It cannot be that we meet at this level and there's no support for communities at the level where we are. Alright, let's get then the process of the you'll guide us which document you're waiting on.
This is actually a document fully on the amended. I'm Dr. Catherine, I'm the coordinator legal services. You should have been circulated the old presentation that I made on the 24th of April, 2018, and I'm going to speak from slide 22 onwards when we do the committee process. As was explained at that meeting, the first step in the process was for this committee to request the permission of the House introduce a committee bill. That request for permission was adopted by this committee and it has been tabled in the House. My understanding is that the request was tabled in the House yesterday and that approval to proceed with a committee bill was granted. So we completed with the first step. Now in terms of the rules, once the Assembly gives permission for the committee to proceed with the bill, the committee must then prepare a draft bill together with the memorandum setting out what the object of the bill is. So that is what we discussed yesterday. We discussed the first draft of a draft version of the bill. There were certain questions that were raised. The department proposed a new amendment which we were then instructed to go and include into the draft bill, which we have done, and that is now contained in draft 2 of the version of the report, which we will discuss on our explanation about the process. Now, once the committee agrees on the content of the draft bill, which we will deliberate, the committee must then publish that draft bill for comment. So the idea is that if this committee can agree on the content of the draft bill either today or by next week or before July, I together with the committee secretariat will ensure that the draft bill is published for a period of at least 50 days and so that once we return from these steps we'll be able to then deal with the comments. Depending on the number of submissions we receive, it will be up to this committee to decide whether you would want to hold public hearings. Because if you only receive one submission, it doesn't really raise very much substantive issues. There might not be a need for public hearing. But if the committee receives a large volume of submissions, then there might be a need to hold public hearing. But that's completely within the discretion of the committee. Once the public hearings are held, and responses from the department on those submissions are also received, the committee deliberates further on the draft bill and you may amend the draft bill in light of those comments received. And once you finalize the bill, the committee then adopts a final version of the bill and the final version of the bill gets sent to the House for introduction. Upon introduction, it will be tabled for its second read. So in other words, once it's introduced, it will get a bill number, it will be set for second reading and debate in the House, and if the House then adopts that final version of the bill, it will go directly to the NCLT. It doesn't come back here to this committee. That's the process.
Okay. All right, members, are we fine with the process? Yep.
I'm fine with the process.
Okay.
Oh, let me welcome your chair. I thought it would be very important for meeting. You are not going to call us the previous chair. I'm very fine with the process that has been explained for us, but however, now, because we need to get a clarity from you. And then now, as she explained the process, the committee needs to see. So we need to get a very much clear program with the committee now, because we have a deadline that we have to meet as well.
Because we'll have to determine the program. The program, the process, the bill will be agreed by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We'll have to look at the deadline and then agree that this is the process that we're going to engage on. Yeah. I'm aware that a number of members here, some of them will be traveling overseas, and some of them will be doing oversight in different committees. So ours is to make sure that we work within the timeline.
Yes.
At the same time, check with Parliament, because once we do the first intervention of the bill in Parliament, it must be seen in Parliament. So we have to work with the bill in Parliament, the committee of Parliament, to make sure that it does get the watch for the contest in the first program of Parliament in Parliament. So it depends on what we do now until the first meeting of Parliament. I think there's a deadline. What is the deadline?
Thank you. Honorable Chair, and congratulations. And then, I think it is healthy from the experience of the DMA. It will be healthy for us to have our own deadline as well, agreed with the NCO today. These are the times that we are working on. But otherwise, if we just drag on, and then go to the right. Because really, in the section 75, it doesn't really need a lot of guidance.
Now we'll determine the program, and we'll talk to us now. It's our bill, right? For that, let's
tell me. Okay, I just think it's very, I'm fine with the process, but I want to ask, are we limited only to those clauses that the Constitutional Court has pronounced? So, for example, if there are other areas in the Immigration Act at the moment that the committee might feel that needs to be amended, what opportunity is there for us to do that? And are we able to do that on this occasion? Or are we limited to just to that particular clauses that are not part of the Constitution?
I'm telling now. I'll tell you what is the process. We have set the commission from the House specifically to deal with clause 34. So it's the House that does it. It's no longer, we are amending an Act of Parliament. When you amend the Act of Parliament, it's Parliament that will give you permission to amend that clause. And we have given reasons why we want to amend clause 4. And that reason is because of the bill was found unconstitutional, in particular clause 4. So the memorandum that the Honorable Gumede read in the House speaks to that particular amendment. If there's any other thing that you want to do outside that money, you must go back to the House. It must be the House that says, yes, you have permitted, you can do further amendments. But again, those amendments will have to be informed. Either it's a court or it's a process that you want to bring in
that would follow the custodian now of the law on immigration, Parliament. That's Parliament. So Parliament is not the committee. We operate on behalf of Parliament, that's mandated by the Speaker of Parliament. That's my experience now, how I understand the problem. So legal advice can confirm if the senior counsel was right.
Yes, Chair, that's my understanding too, because that is the mandate within which we approach the House amendable. And we can make any consequential amendments that have come out of it. But I also understand that the department is bringing an immigration amendment bill, I think it's at the end of next year, end of this year, where there would be an opportunity then for the committee to make an amendment. And we're also doing this for the one in the court judgment and the deadline.
So if it is bought by the department now, we can then try and piggyback maybe on that process. We'll then look at the kind of amendments that they want to bring.
Yeah.
But again, nothing stops this committee once it comes to this facility, indirect with such matter. And that's where, your legal advice will come in again and help us. But you see, I thought that the department, it was going to be very easy if they did not waste much time, almost a year, would have packaged the entire amendment that they wanted to bring, and then include this constitutional court judgment on page 4. And then we then deal with the rest of the issues. Now we're going to deal with it in 6 minutes. We deal with this amendment, now we're done with it, and that is our target is June next year. And then they come back again with another amendment.
Mm.
You want to say something?
It's a complete new immigration act based on the white paper. So we are doing the immigration act, so it's going to take a lot of time for us to consult and to think who will meet the deadline if we were to bring the entire
thing. Maybe for the purpose of privilege that you are here, can you share with the committee where is the process and what informs this process? You may, I know that you're not mandated, but those legal things from the department, you may want to talk to us so that members can then prepare themselves. We have to understand what is it that, but again, I'll think it that you have, again, the responsibility, unless it's in your institution, that you said that you are going to be amending or you are bringing the new regime of in my APP. And in your APP, you do have timelines in the APP.
The program in the APP is that we are going to be consulting internally in state government up to the end of December this year. And then we go to cabinet to request permission to publish for public comment. And then we do the process until the end of the financial year, which is March 2019. And then thereafter, we send that to the government.
That is the new parliament. Exactly. That's the point. That if you don't raise issues, this is going to happen now. It's a process that all of us may not even be here. But it's important that we leave such a foundation for whoever that comes in after we have left, when they find some kind of a solid foundation in place that we have left.
Thank you, Honorable
If I recall what we discussed yesterday,
the department intended to correct what's happening according to their experience. That an ambassador cannot confirm that the illegal foreigner is there. And then the law, but they find that the illegal foreigner then is discharged from Nigeria, but the identification of that person is not confirmed. So they wanted to be in a position to be clear as to what very big applying this immigration act. And that is the other thing I have.
No, no, we'll come to that point. I think we'll come to that point. So now we're just dealing with the process and general comments from members. These are very important. In fact, these comments are helping us, you know, to think ahead of this plan, if we do the APP and this is what we intend to do, what is expected of us, you know, in our engagement with the department. We may want to get an update of the process, you know, this new regime that we are now bringing, you know. You may want, without really bringing in a draft or whatever, but just the process, you know, how far are you, stakeholders, so Parliament is up to date with the process. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point. I think we need to move on, but the reason why I raised the question is, you recall yesterday where we had a discussion where I stated mentioning to you this whole issue about the undesirable status in the impact that it's actually having on the current environment. For example, the difference between people who came in the country and people left is millions. And this thing in the Immigration Act, where it says that you will be marked undesirable for a period of X number of years, might actually be counterproductive. It's forcing people not to leave the country out of fear that they may not be allowed to come back. And it may be contributing to the problem that we have already, the high number of undocumented countries in the country. Because they know that they've overstayed. If they leave, they're going to be marked as undesirable and can't return for 2 years. So what that does is that people then just stay, even though they want you to exit. And it's now, I know it's a complicated issue, but and it's a matter that I think that this committee must give some thought to what extent. But you can't just take a decision without having, you know, the factual evidence from the department and all. So the question I'm raising is that if the committee wants to consider the impact of that particular clause, where is the opportunity to do that? It's now not the opportunity, based on what you said earlier. And I've heard that there is another chance to bring further immigration amendments to the Act at a later stage. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen in this term.
Look, there's another process, obviously. The private members, you may, if you really feel passionate about this point, having a look at the parliamentary process, you may want to introduce a private member that amendment. You may want to look at that. I mean, I think currently now let's do the civil union amendment, and we have not yet been discussed. You'll see that not only yourself as a member empowered to make that, you can want to do that, what you call it, but that will be attested by the engagement and the movement of the civil scrutiny. The same applies to Parliament. You can do it and then go to Parliament just elected. You know? So I'm saying those issues. But let's note this issue that we are raising as a concern. And then I think the department should hear you at the issue that we have. Maybe as we continue engaging with the department, we'll be able to get some clarity on the issues.
Yeah.
My mom will be and then follow up to the other one.
I think we have created a little bit. Can we move to the agenda? However, I was just saying that, you know, in spite of what the human rights lawyers have said, especially with the safety, you know, the section 12.1, it says everyone has a right to freedom and security. And it implies everyone. But I don't think that people that got security, if we don't even know their biometrics, where do they come from? So I think what our lawyers here also, they must assist also trying to set up some of the security by ensuring that we have the biometrics of those people, because whether you are a foreigner, whether you are a South African, for our safety, our security, people must have that biometrics, we should be able to know where they come from. In order that you must have that, you know, freedom to move, to be able to walk freely. in the country, the biometrics is very important. Try to also assist the lawyers in checking on other issues.
Okay.
Yes.
No, that's fine. I think the point that you are making yesterday, if you remember yesterday, our colleague from the EFF raised the general point around undocumented and people who just in the country. And I think it's an area that we may want to sit and look at it. Because you can go, you can meet with the police, they'll tell you that as they investigate some of these criminal cases, house voting, whatever. They already get fingerprints, but those fingerprints are not, of course, English, right? But it then tells you that we have a problem of people that commit crime who knows very well that they are not in the system, their fingerprints are not in the system. It's something that we may have to get taking into account that the influx of migrants in the country and the borders of the borders that we have in the country that opens up. And, it's very rare that you get people that goes to a post of entry. And I was making an example not long ago that if you live in Zimbabwe, for you to get a passport as a citizen, to get a passport, it's more than 3,000 rand now, which the majority of those people are unemployed. So what do? You can't get a passport. Your own country cannot issue you with a passport. It's so expensive. So majority of them decide to come through the vector. And they come here, they still try to find a way of going back again, still come back. And the exercise that the government does was that they always deport people. And in December you see that the number of deportation goes up. Because everybody will go for Christmas. Right? They'll go there and the other will be full. People are going for Christmas, they're free like. And they come back again. You know, so these are things that as this committee will have to spend time with, like, you know, so that when we hold this department accountable, we hold them in line with issues that we believe are legislated, and the department must make sure that it implements, you know, those the legislation. Mom can come in also, and then we can move into that. I think it was a good discussion that we had. In fact, it touched me as a new chair. That's where I left many years ago. So I'm starting it again. It's covered, man. All right, no, thank you. Okay.
Chair, just so that we don't lose the very important points that you, I think you just made now, I do think it's at some point it might be necessary for us to set on our program as a committee, just to have a discussion with the department on the impact that the Immigration Act is having currently on, you know, the high number of undocumented immigrants in the country, and what is it that we need to do. I think this committee must be proactive about it, and I support you in that. We have that engagement, and then we try and explore ideas around how do we actually reduce the high number of undocumented immigrants in the country. I'm afraid the BMA is a long time down the line, and it's not going to be the immediate solution to it, but I do think after that discussion there might be some immediate interventions that Omaface can make to try and reduce the problem.
No, that's fine. The program of this committee, right, must speak to the mandate. It must not divert and end up dealing with issues that are not really relevant for us. The issue of citizenship is also there. That's our area for politics. And there's a law, in fact, in this country that this is of citizenship. Immigration is our issue, you know. All those related legislation in this department is also for the business of the committee. You know, so we must find that time. So our program of the committee must speak to such matters as we move forward with the program of the committee.
Yes, Chen, I'm not trying to delay the process. The meeting, but in fact, we took a decision long time ago when the news from the department came to this committee to say they are going to implement all acts, especially the Immigration Act. And we said as a committee, let us get a presentation from the immigration section. That was long time ago. So now the discussion is being revised, which is very good. So okay, we trust you as the new chair that you are going to check all issues that are raised in the committee.
No, it's the committee. The committee must do that. That's for the committee.
Not the chair.
I think I do. No, no. The chair will lead from the front, but the committee must be there. You see, we must all be relevant. In fact, I think this matters, and this overhaulment of the new regime, it must be presented. Why? I mean, it's very, very important that the department must come, it must take us through. In fact, at the level of when we're dealing with the APC, that's where it's supposed to have a bigger discussion there. Because that's where they are doing their planning. And if they have put it in the APP and they have not yet decided on that, how do you oversight on it? You know? Because anything that goes to the APP is a partnership between the committee and the department of the APP. Right? Okay. Can we therefore move to the amendment, therefore, and then now we know the process, but after this deliberation, then the bill will then go out for public comment. Right? So take us through those proposals, and I hear yesterday, Honorable Hussein, already had issues that we are raising. It's important that those issues can just come forward. Can we, all of us, go back to the draft bill so that we are relevant to the process? Yeah. Huh? Oh, there's a new one that we have. Okay. But remember, we have the copy of the draft bill again. Please, I want us, as we do this exercise, just take us again, it's not a big deal, just take us again pages. If there's any amendment that you have made on page 1 of the introduction, please just take us through so that at the end, we can then agree that the bill is now ready for the next year. Okay? So we can then move to the next item again.
I'm going to go through the clauses of the bill, but I'd like you to also read it in conjunction with Section 34 of the Act, which was distributed, so that we can just comment to see what exactly is being done. So Section 34 of the Principal Act, I think it's just two or three pages.
This page here? Yeah? This page. What is this page? You have a very good chapter then, you guys.
Good chapter, we know the comments now. We're watching you.
Okay.
And I'm also going to be looking at the version that says Box 2 on the
platform. Okay.
So like I said, the first page is your normal standard page. It represents the country from which the bill emanates. It gives the bill name. It also says that it's initiated as a committee bill by this portfolio committee. And it mentions the committee that's going to be introducing the bill. It states that it's a proposed Section 75, so it's clear what legislative process this bill will unfold. And at the bottom, you have what will be the bill number, which will only be inserted once the bill is introduced. So that's why we don't have a bill number yet. Then on page 2 of the bill, at the very top there, we have an explanatory note which is necessary when dealing with an amending bill. It merely explains that the words that will appear in bold type setting as well as in brackets, the square brackets, is what's going to be taken out from the current act. And then the words that are underlined are going to be the new provisions that are going to be inserted into the legislation. In the first bold paragraph there is what we call the long title. It's a short description of what the bill seeks to do, and it's a brief summary of what the clauses entail. The only thing we added in there after yesterday's draft is in line 3, which after the word constitutional principles, it states that to provide for further extension of detention of an illegal partner in certain circumstances. And this is inserted after the department alerted the committee to the challenges they face when they are unable to deport an illegal partner within the maximum period of detention provided for them. Then the first amendment we made is an amendment to Section 1 of the Act, which is the definition section, including in the Act now a definition for the word constitution. because throughout the Act, and as well as in this bill, we do refer to the Constitution, but the Act has not defined the Constitution to be the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. So it's just for certainty and for easier reading. We move on to page 2, where these are the amendments now to section 34, where the first amendment is to the word preceding paragraph A. So if you look at your principal act, you will see section 34 at the top and then your clear bracket in 1. Now this amendment is in respect of that particular paragraph. And what we are doing there is to say that here, the discretion of the immigration officer to arrest an illegal foreigner must be exercised in respect of the guidelines that the new that the law will provide for, which will be contained in the new subsection 1A. So all we are inserting there are the words, after the word warrant in the first line, we will say, without the need for a warrant, but subject to subsection 1A, an immigration officer may arrest an illegal foreigner. So subsection 1A will provide the guidance to an immigration officer as to when he or she may arrest an illegal foreigner. Now, as you know, that this is a discretion, there's no obligation to arrest an illegal foreigner, because what sometimes happens is that an illegal foreigner, even though he's found to be illegal in the country and in terms of the act has to be deported, the department can release him on a detention order or deportation order to say that within so many days he will have to deport. But there are instances when the immigration officer will arrest that person, and that's the guidelines we now provide on subsection 1A, because that's what the court has said. The court said that this section provides very harsh measures to an immigration officer to arrest an illegal foreigner without the need for a warrant, but without also giving this immigration officer any guidelines as to how he would exercise that discretion. So we're now including that in this book. Then in the last line of that same paragraph, we've just made a technical correction there. We deleted the comma and inserted a colon, and we deleted the word provided, which appears in small letters, to replace that with the word provided in capital letters. And this is in terms of the drafting style of the further amendments that were made in the Immigration Act. I'm now going to look at paragraph B on page 3. This is an amendment to section 34.1b. So what we are doing here is we are deleting the entire paragraph B from the Immigration Act and replacing it with a provision that will oblige an immigration officer to bring an illegal foreigner who has been arrested to court within 48 hours or no later than the first court day after the expiry of the 48 hours for the court to determine whether to confirm the detention for a period not exceeding 30 days for purposes of deportation. Now the reason we have done this here is because this is in line with the court judgment that said the Immigration Act does not allow for automatic judicial intervention. What currently the Act provides for is that the detainee may merely request an immigration officer to go to court and confirm his detention. Remember, this is an arrest without a warrant. So it's only at the behest of a request from the detainee, then only would the immigration officer approach the court to confirm that detention. What we are doing now is saying, once a person is arrested, that person must be brought before court within 48 hours for the court to say, yes, further detention of this person can be allowed. And then yesterday, Honorable Hussein raised the issue that he couldn't see the link between paragraph B and paragraph C. And so we then made the amendment, and it highlighted the immigration. We included the word that first detention can only be for the period not exceeding 50 calendar days, so that it will now read more coherently in respect of the rest of the paragraph. The next amendment is an amendment we made to paragraph C, and this was to address the court's concern that there was no obligation on an immigration officer to inform the illegal foreigner about his rights that are in Section 35(2) of the Constitution. Now, the court has said that Section 35(2), the rights that are enumerated there, apply to all foreigners. It doesn't only apply to citizens, but the Act didn't place an obligation on an immigration officer to inform the detainee of his rights in that section. So what would include it, if you look at page 4 of the bill, what would include in that section is that the immigration, the detainee shall be informed upon arrest or immediately thereafter of the rights set out in Section 35(2) of the Constitution. The next amendment was an amendment to paragraph D. This was to address the court's concern that when a detention of an illegal foreigner was being extended, that person wasn't appearing in court in person. That extension was made on the request of an immigration officer going to court and saying we need to extend the detention of this illegal foreigner. Now what we are saying is that the detention of this person can only be made once the person appears in court in person, and the court will then on reasonable grounds extend that detention for a period not exceeding 90 calendar days. And then yesterday the department raised the concern about the fact that deportations are not necessarily happening within the maximum period of time for reasons that the embassy are not generating travel documents, or there's no cooperation from the illegal foreigner himself in respect of the country of the region or nationality. And the inclusion we now made is the words that are highlighted in your version, which now says that provided further that the court may grant further extensions of detention where the deportation of such foreigner cannot be effected as a result of lack of cooperation from such foreigner or the relevant authority of legal or country of origin or nationality. So that's to address the difficulty that they're currently facing when it comes to the deportation within the maximum period of now 90 days. The next amendment is the insertion of the new subsection into Section 36, which will now provide guidance to an immigration officer on how to exercise his or her discretion as to when he or she may arrest an illegal foreigner. And that entire section is going to be included in Section 34 as a new subsection, and it reads, an immigration officer may arrest and detain an illegal foreigner for purposes of deportation if the immigration officer has determined that the foreigner is an illegal foreigner in terms of the Act. Now, an illegal foreigner in terms of the Act is somebody who is in contravention of the Immigration Act. So what this immigration officer needs to do is he needs to verify, firstly, that the person is indeed an illegal foreigner within the provisions of the Act. And following the outcome of the prescribed interview, the immigration officer is of the view that the arrest and detention is justified in those circumstances. So what I understand from the department is that this interview will raise questions about whether the person has any assets, has a family here, has children here, because like I said earlier, not all illegal foreigners are arrested and detained. Some are given an order of deportation and released and asked to go and wind up the affairs within a certain period of time, and then they are deported, while others are arrested, depending now on what the outcome of this interview will be, and I'm sure the department can elaborate a little bit more on what that would be. And then the last clause merely deals with the short title of the Act, and we've included there that the Act for this amendment will come into operation on a date determined by the President, and the reason we've done that is because we've now got the prescribed interview built into this bill. The department will obviously need to develop regulations first before this can be implemented. Pages 5 to 8 is the memo on the object of the bill. Under the introduction, we will speak about the findings of the court, and then what we included in this memo is on page 6 under 1.3, where we address the department's challenges regarding the deportations that are not happening with the maximum period of time, and that was the mischief, in fact, that department saying that this bill needs to address by an amendment to section 34.1c. Similarly, under paragraph 2, we've included 2.2, which now provides that the bill will now provide for the further extensions to address the challenges. Part 3 of the memo merely is a clause-by-clause explanation of what each clause in this bill entails. I was told by the department that this bill won't have any implications on personnel or organizational issues, and therefore under 4 on page 7, we say none. As far as financial implications are concerned, the department is already currently implementing the Constitutional Court order and hence do not foresee any additional expenditure for the state. Under 6, we normally need to include who we consulted, but once the bill is published for comment, we can complete that section to also say how many submissions we received, where the public hearings are held, and so we can complete that once that is done. And then under 7, we propose that the bill is also to be sent to Section 75 of the Constitution.
All right, members. John?
Sorry, can I just add to that, just to indicate that we've been working very closely with the law advisor as well, behind the scenes.
They're not going to submit something.
No. All this is really agreed upon. But I just want to stress the fact, if you look at the additional, first of all, I want to state that the amendment that has been brought in terms of the further extension, etc., in paragraph B, is still within section 34 that is currently before the committee. It's not another section of the Act. It's still, and it's a consequential amendment based on certain things that have been experienced. I furthermore just want to stress that the further amendment, if you read, says provided further that the court may grant, it still means that this is in line with what the Constitutional Court said. There's a court intervention process. What we're trying to say here is not the immigration officer that's going to decide, hey, there must be a further extension. That person has to be taken back to court, and only in those circumstances where we can prove as the department that we cannot effect this deportation because of A, B, C, D. So there needs to be a track record. We've engaged with this embassy. They said they can only issue within 4 months or 5 months or whatever the case may be. And it's for the court then to decide, based on that information, whether or not to extend the detention. So there's no subjectivity involved from the immigration officer at all, and it is in line with what the Constitutional Court said in the earlier section as well. So I just wanted to say that. Thanks.
On at the level of the regulation, the implementation therefore will require regulation. In fact, the point I want to bring in is at the level of education. Is there a guideline to take? So, you know, I'm asking this thing for one reason, and I wouldn't do this in joking. But the more you are dark like me, the more you are listening. No, it's a fact. I'm just trying to, you know, this thing is becoming, and can it just becoming a joke, but it's serious. That it is light that is most of the people. Yeah, and even the legal advisor there would just decide this one is from Kenya. But what is the guideline? How do you deal with such matters that give the immigration officer? Because that given the immigration officer the right to detain.
This is precisely what the Constitutional Court is, what we're trying to do here now as well. So what we're doing, this is this subsection 1 capital A that's being included.
And what, at 34?
At 34, yes. Yeah. If you look on page 4, paragraph C.
Page 4, yes.
Yeah. So what happened there, remember? In subsection, after subsection 1, we'll include 1A. Now this is the guidelines that are being given now to the immigration based on the Constitutional Court judgment, where you're saying that immigration officer may only arrest and detain an illegal foreigner, and remember it's for purposes of deportation. And if that person wants, the immigration officer has to satisfy himself or herself that this person is an illegal foreigner. So there would have been investigation done, documentation that's there, don't have the necessary documentation, visa has been over, so whatever the case may be. And secondly, what he's saying is, and you'll see there's an and there, it's not an or. The B paragraph says, following the outcome of the prescribed interview. Now this interview is to guide the immigration officer to say, when you do this interview, you need to ask questions such as, do you have an address in the country? Where you stay? Do you have children in the country? Do you have assets in the country?
Because where does that
would go to the, that would go to the regulations. In other
exactly.
words,
currently the regulation it does not say that.
No, there is an interview to determine the illegality of it, but not how you should do it.
Okay.
So that's why we're bringing it in this amendment.
The appearance in court within 48 hours goes to strengthen the issue of the decision to arrest and detain. When you went to that before the magistrate, which triggers what's happening in the chamber without the person being arrested, the immigration officer is going to make an application to court to say, I have got CS Venerable record. His name is this, that explained part of the immigration. Once you said that you're illegal and therefore that you with the list that this person I cannot order to depart because he doesn't have address, doesn't have any reliable source of information that I can rely on, that tomorrow I'll find him in the then you make the application to say, can I detain the person for purpose of deportation? Then the person has detained or arrested has an opportunity to say, I'm not illegal. This is why I'm saying I'm not illegal, these are my letters. So then the court will then say, yes, I agree you are illegal, therefore I authorize the detention for the purpose of deportation. So they still have measure, and they've got the right to self-documentation and all other rights that we are dealing with. So there's a measure that not anyone will just be arrested and without proving that this person is illegal and deserves to be prosecuted in the process.
Yes,
yes, you can come in. Maybe as we do that, as we take questions, the current, as we say, that the department is already implementing, what is the arrangement with justice? The right for legal representation, is that the state attorney that comes in? Legal aid.
We have for the right to choose your own legal. We see what things that we see now bring their own legal representatives. Legal aid as well, and I think that we should stay exactly to their own offices. One judgment was released where they explained how they need to work and assist. Therefore, they did guarantee, and the court as well re-emphasizes the rights that a person is entitled to as and when they appear. And where there is a need for postponement to get legal representation, they do so and arrange. The normal way of the other person appearing in court, those rights are fully granted at that appearance.
So this may not stop the committee to invite legal aid?
Definitely.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at the way it loads, therefore. I mean, you're dealing with thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants and deportations.
The day that we have to implement the order,
yes,
we can have a
lot of time. That's why, that is my thing. That, now you're going, at what point? I'll give you, I'm just throwing this thing so that as we prepare our questions. Are we not going to arrive at a level where you now have stateless people when the embassy says, I don't know, this one is not a Munzuru, and then the Munzuru says, I am not a Munzuru? At what point? You're going to arrive at the level where you now have seen the president, because the embassy says it's not our president, and this president says I'm from there, and the embassy says it's not. You verify, you do all of that. What then do you do with that president?
In terms of that's precisely one of the reasons why we're bringing in this provision to say that we must have further, because it can happen. But if you really cannot determine a certain fact, we then as the department have to go, because in terms of the legislation, other legislation, the Person Death Registration Act, you've got your Citizenship Act, you have to look at, if a person becomes stateless, what do you do in this regard? Can this person apply? In order to give this person some other status within South Africa at the end of the day, so that this person is not a stateless, but there are certain requirements that need to be complied with. That's in terms of other pieces of legislation. But before you can get there, you need to have gone through all the steps and made all the necessary applications, etc., to the embassies and made sure that this person is indeed not from a country, this person is stateless. And this is the frustration that we are facing, because you get individuals that would come and say, I'm from this country. and you call the embassy and say, no, it's not out. Then you have an interview again, and they say, okay, let's call this embassy to come and see. The embassy says, no, it's not from our country, precisely as you say. And in that process, the 120-day runs. Mm. It doesn't stop, so nothing stops it. So now I come, and the people talk to each other sometimes. Maybe they speak to each other, and then what they do is they say, just wait out the 120 days. When the 120 days comes, and you can't do a further extension, you have to be released. That's the effect. So what then comes is, after the 120 days, the person is released.
And when this person is released, what is he given?
There's no status. This is the problem. That this is why we say, but this is now where the court's intervention, and it's not, and what we want to make very clear, it's not the department deciding that we must, there must be a further detention. It's based on information provided that we cannot determine the status as yet because we're waiting for the embassy. And in that case, we provide that evidence to the court for the court to make a decision whether or not we justify the further detention.
Well, let me give numbers now. Let's start. You raise your hand or say, Mamika, and then you can come in that line. Let's take it from here.
Yeah.
But from the ground, you have not raised your hand. I want us to take it around now and allow members.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a quick question. As Madam Mkuma mentioned, there is a process that has been
followed.
I just wanted to make a follow-up on your question, Chair, when you asked the department about the guidelines. I understand the explanation they are giving here, but now I just want to get from the department, how do you deal with the element of corruption? Because it's very important that you must understand. Now, I'm confirming that I'm saying you were Chauke, but I don't have documents, but the immigration officer just accepted the bribe for me to say that I produced the legal statement. So how do you deal with such situation of corruption between myself, who is not legal, and yourself, who is interested in corruption?
Maybe the steps in which the interviews are done, right? Because what you then find is that a person who is allocated this particular immigration officer to interview, and it does it end there or it goes to another step, instead I was going to from a different person. I'm not sure what does the allegation take, but I'm trying to deal with this point that the member is raising. Well, then, tell me what?
Okay, I just wanted to speak to the point you just raised now, which is important. And I get it that, that sometimes undocumented immigrants, incidentally, I don't think we must ever use the term illegal immigrants in the document. But, that they might collude with each other to wait out the 120 days, and that creates difficulties for the department. Mm-hmm. But then we must also be balanced in the way we deal with it. In the rush of trying to protect our own borders, what we mustn't do is violate the constitutional rights of our borders. So my concern is this, is that you give the court here the authority to extend the detention of an undocumented immigrant forever. That's what you're saying here. The court can just keep him for 10 years. And I'm not sure that that's the correct rule. You must.
It's not 90 days.
No, it says 30 days. You can extend it for 90 days.
Yeah.
And to cover the concern that was raised now by the advocate, you go back to court and the court can keep extending it. That's essentially what it says. Grant. The court may grant further extensions of detention where the deportation of such foreigners cannot be effected as a result of lack of corruption. There's no deadline. It doesn't say it comes to an end at some point. So the effect of this clause is that Home Affairs can detain undocumented immigrants for the next 25 years. And I don't think that that's the solution. I think at some point that we must be able to say it stops here. The second point...
let's not at this point, right? It's our view.
Yes.
Don't forget that part I said.
Sure.
So you need to put flesh in what you say. You have an opportunity to propose. This is our bid, not the department's bid now. It's our bid, right? The 90 days we are talking about is not the department's bid. It's our 90 days. So let's work on what is it that we want to put there, right? Then let's work on that. It may not be now, but I think note it so that when you come back, you're not going to expect the department to make any decision on that, but you must be able to guide. So this is the bill of the committee.
Okay, no, sure.
So, but the very important point that you are raising,
yeah,
and the mechanism that are put in place, that's why it's important that we get justice in, and we look at the finding of the Concord, what are the findings, and the, what the court has recommended. You know, it's a violation in fact to the legal immigrant. So we have to balance those things. But I think these are points, just note them, just have further engagement around the point, and then just come to the next point.
I don't mind, you know, giving some talk to the proposal. It has to be both. You guys are the experts.
No, that's fine.
The other point on that same way, on that very same clause, is this lack of cooperation. You and I understand what it means. Now, I just worry that it's far too broad about what the lack of cooperation is. I think that we must specify what the circumstances are. Because, you know, avoid a situation where, you know, the immigration officer approaches the court and says, this guy is not cooperating with us, please extend. And then it becomes like a daily administrative action of the court, because you've got so many of these things. The good advocate presented quite well, saying that the Home Affairs must prove that this is the case. And I think it will be more comfortable to have that kind of provision in the law, saying that we must prove that this guy is not cooperating, rather than simply saying there is lack of cooperation. Because lack of cooperation can be a lot of things. It can be the guy doesn't want to go to court because he's got diarrhea in the morning or he's lying. So I think you want to specify. So those are just the 2 points I wanted to make here.
So in the regulation, that lack of cooperation will have to be
specified
proper, that these are processes that get followed in your interview and the point that you're raising, and therefore the following were not met by such a person, and therefore it then comes to the level of lack of cooperation and stay on the abroad. So that's why I'm pointing that. Not that you're coming on.
On the issue of discrepancy, the department always tell us when we ask, and we're asking this question several times, that what happens if the embassy now has said that no, that is not our person, he doesn't belong to us, then the department will say that, we'll take that one, then the court, he doesn't cover it. Now he gives another story, that's where he comes from. And then if we need to go to that country again, to that embassy, they refuse to take it. Now, when I ask the question, what I said to you, if it is then that we say that he is absorbed in the community. So now, my question is, if he is in the absorbed by the community, how do you take that in the status? Because now he's not at your you don't know where he is, he's just absorbed by the community.
Our national. So how do
we detect the status of being stateless in that case? Mamu, what would you say? What I think it's actually somewhere and somehow. But what we should be mindful of is about the issue of human beings. We play little pieces. And I don't know if ever really met human rights lawyers in as much as they are advocating and really trying to assist in some way somehow. But this thing is also trying to, it's a threat to development. People who don't have documentation. It's a threat. I think what besides what we are really dealing with, if we can call all those human rights lawyers, all the lawyers, and ask if ever they see this thing is a threat to development,
okay.
It's a threat, whether we like it or not. With such heists that are happening, with such criminal elements that are happening in our society,
it's scary, guys. So I really don't know. That is my proposal.
Okay. Now we'll find answers here. I'm just scared to find answers. No. The issue you're dealing with is the issue of security of your. But the point that comes in, the issue of stateless person after your 120 days, so that's fine. I think that we'll come back. I think the point that we did. Honorable Gigan, you've been very quiet for some time now, and I don't like you being very quiet. Can you give us a comment too? Is there a comment you can share with us?
I'm covered by...
You're covered, my lawyer.
Because it's always me.
I think generally that I don't pick up much around the draft bill itself with regard to the clauses that there have been, except the comments that you are making, right? Mm. So the amendment as they stand now, I don't find much challenge around that. But let me give it before that, don't raise your hand. So let's comment, but as we do that, we just have to agree that in principle that we find with the second draft, and therefore subject the second draft to be processed. Is it where we are now, right? You'll talk about that. You'll talk about that, but that does not stop you, in fact, to release the first. As we move forward, you may find that we may want to enrich those 34 first, right? So you may want to enrich it further. But it may not be now. You can take it out for comment and all of that. The bill is still going to be subject for this kind of engagement again when we do the engagement, general engagement from public comment that will come. We are now beginning even to identify stakeholders that want to invite as we get to the bill, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Honorable Gomez, and then you give the last, and then we'll then get the responses, and then we'll then adopt the draft too.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first point I would like to raise would be to check whether it is whether it is the last sentence on page 2
on the constitutional the definition.
Yeah. Constitution means the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1992.
That's correct.
Don't we have to say as amended the Constitution as amended? No. Okay. That is the first area.
Okay.
The second area, I think as we discussed, it becomes clear that there's still a lot of homework we need to do on the issue of immigration as a country, not only here. And but we cannot accommodate that here and now. Mm. But I do agree that what is proposed by Honorable Hussein could be accommodated. Mm. But the rest, good as it is, I don't think we have to include it now.
Okay.
But we've got to have it as part of our agenda moving forward, particularly because the department
that is why it's important to get the department to come and talk to us on issues of immigration. Now, when you deal with such mechanisms, you may want again to deal with the issue of, I'm not sure whom you're consulting there, but your public work becomes very critical. For one reason, the borderline sense.
Just on the borderline sense, what's the jurisdiction of Homer?
Yes, exactly.
Homer says the jurisdiction is forces.
That's correct.
Not the borderline.
That's correct.
The borderline is somewhere.
That's the point. That's the point I'm making, that the concerns that are raised around the issue of influx of illegal migrants that come to the country is because of the porous nature of the borderline that is not police. Right? And it's not the responsibility of Homer, it's the responsibility of public works, and then the police comes in, the army comes in, and all of that, right? So all these concerns that we are raising are very relevant and very important. But it's not in our area of operation. Now, the new border, whatever management thing that you're doing, I've not seen it myself, obviously. But we'll have to look at such matters But who are the role players? And each role player, what is their responsibility? Can't be a role player because you can't work, and your role is to maintain the borderline. Right? And that is not covered there. And that relationship, it must be a relationship that is a working relationship.
Sorry, just to come back on the border management, that is the solution that we put forward, and I know the other committee did, because what you would have there is a line of the command and control. So because currently you have got different people, you've got SAPs, you've got SARCs, you've got all the different role players, but there's no coordination segment, and that's precisely the reason why BMA is there to coordinate, and you've got one line of communication, and that would include the borderline then as well. You've got your port of entry, borderline, etc., that the BMA will regulate. And there's implementation, so I don't want to go into the details of it all, but
maybe as you speak, you may want to share with us the international practice around this amendment that has been, and especially on the issues of deportation, the 90 days, the 120 days. You may want to share with us what is the international, practice? You may want to forget that maybe. It may not be now, we may want to deal with it in the next round. Not now, not saying that you must go now and go through that.
I've already prepared a brief on the management, but we'll make it part of the
information. Okay, well, then we can come in.
See, I understand that you want us to proceed with publishing the bill draft too, so that we can get it out there and make progress. But I'm uncomfortable with us publishing it without at least indicating whether there's a cut-off point. So I think
now the cut-off point is 120 days.
No, the cut-off point is never.
Oh, it's never. Oh, okay. You mean that after 920 days, what then happened? So what then happened is that you get released, you walk 20 meters, then they arrest you again.
This is exactly the same as the 90-day
act I mentioned. No, we'll deal with that.
So may I suggest then that we could probably include, and remember what other members say, the way it is provided further to the court may grant further extensions. We remove the word further extensions and put an actual time period there. however you want to word it. But provided further that the court may grant an extension of further 90 days. But that's it. And that's where it stops. But any time period.
Okay. Okay, 95, we have your...
What you
can I give you? You don't know that one. Take your time. Let members comment. I think Ozen is proposing that we sort of put a timeline, tag ourselves in. And if we can be better. I understand your revolutionary approach. On the issue of immigration. I really understand that. But here we'll have to look at the interest of the country and the needs of the country. But we have to balance the two. In fact, as much as, you know, part of what we must look at, remember, this is the protocol on free movement of customs, right? That's what it. We have not yet had time just to look at that protocol ourselves. It's there, the protocol. I know it was not justified. What has been rectified, I know that the movement of goods has been rectified in the continent now. Signed, it's not rectified. So this process will have to go parallel. In fact, when you deal with issues of porous borderlines and all of that, with an example that I made earlier, that at the static level, you look at the pattern of your migration. You know, the pattern of migration within SADC.
Yeah.
Which countries that in fact there's a country, for example, Botswana, which South Africa, you don't have a problem, man. People there document a small country, it's easy to manage. So nothing stops you to begin to look at the free movement of people of Botswana, people of Lesotho, people of Swaziland. Areas that you can manage, I'm just giving an example,
yeah.
Right? As a build up, but that is not our responsibility, it's obviously the responsibility of the state, you know, to begin to look at such matters. So the point that you are raising, I will say, if you to look at the African migrants, it's an area that we have to entertain it seriously around the free movement of people in the continent. And that begins to address this issue that you are raising, which are very much revolutionary in their nature of really changing issues in the continent.
I'm not a person.
No.
All I'm saying is that I'm not comfortable. And I don't think we as a committee should be comfortable to put out a piece of legislation that says the only period for our government is going to be 120 days. I'm not comfortable with
okay.
it.
No, but we don't have a choice, we're saying. At some point...
No, you do have a choice.
No. So, come with a proposal.
I gave you the proposal.
What is the proposal?
I said to him, include 90 days, and then you gave me a lecture about immigration.
No, I'm saying that, what is the proposal?
I put the proposal on the table, and I said, let's include...
Well, it will depend on members. If members agree, then we put the 90 days...
Then you must put it to the members.
Yes.
Not give me a 1.5 hour.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we get your responses, guys, so that we can then interchange the proposal that the Honorable was saying is making? That's the only point that appears in the whole conversation. What line are you?
I'm on page 4LG in the highlighted area.
Okay.
On
the provide the court is not, yeah.
I'm proposing something along these lines and you'll still recap it. Provided further that the court may grant no more than 2 further extensions of detention, not exceeding 50 days at a time, where the deportation of such foreigner cannot be effected as a result of lack of cooperation as prescribed. So then your rate will determine what those lack of cooperation circumstances are from such foreigners relating to foreign people and country of origin. So in other words, you will first be arrested and the first detention will be 30 days. You, after 30 days, you come to court and you are detained for the further period of 90 days. And when you still can't deport, you can approach court for no more than 2 further extensions of 30 days at a time. So it will be
50, 90,
and then
60. Okay.
Is that?
Look, can you... Okay, that's fine. Let me hear members before I move on. Mm-hmm. Members, there is a proposal that now we now deal with extensions. And we have first extension of 30 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we have the second extension of what? Of 90 days.
Yeah.
And we have another further extension of 30 days and 30 days. Which gives you what? The whole of you give you.
180.
You are ending with another 180. You may add it again. You put another proposal. You can have three or four layers of extension.
I think it moving for that in session. Because we are...
Okay, no. Look, the issue is that... Mom, and you're right. No. I hear that.
Hmm.
We may put that amendment as we propose. Still a proposal. You can go out just to satisfy... Yes, this one.
I think this extension goes back to the important. It goes back to what I've been asking about. What is this? Therefore, my question was, how do you really do that? Where do you get? If the person is there in the community, how can you check now that the person, the foreigner, is taken?
We do our own investigation, and we are for the hint that we have to use some kind of
then we need your confirmation. That's when you approve the embargo. But you have got an issue with border community, where you find that the language is the same and everything. That's where we get to be, we get an issue around that. But currently, some of the methods that you're taking, those that come through the port of entry are taking fingerprints throughout, and I think you will, the department will might have indicated that the new automated biometric fingerprints of everyone, regardless of who the machine was segmented. So that's one of the measures. But then, where at all points someone is still legitimate in doubt, the Immigration Act has been a provision on exemption, but it grants a certain right of joining the PR. Then, before even going to the Citizenship Act, that, and if we are fully satisfied, the Citizenship Act has got provision where to say that you can grant citizenship in case of doubt. That's another process. But then there are issues of people who are safe, but most applies to those who have fallen in the country. But now we might be dealing with a person who is an adult who we are setting up for not falling in the country. So there are measures, but the issue I think that we need to go back and deal with maybe better. And our main concern is when we arrest, what information do we have about the person? Usually the embassy tells us not from our country, and the person doesn't give us the country. What then, how do we manage that? So I think that's where we might need to come up from the people who are on the ground to further explain what we need to and what measure going forward, what can we do to make sure that we don't turn these people into the society who can't bring them properly known. And when you are arrested and detained, we take your fingerprints. We record them. So at least something know by your fingerprints with the information that we have. So we can formulate, especially who are you at that point, but yeah, the profile. So I think, but we might need to go back and consult much better, and when we come back, we can give you much more detail. What is the plan to do with this people that should come in and take the initiative?
No, that's fine. The Refugee Act in fact does deal with stateless persons. So we may want to look at that part, especially the part that deals with stateless persons, right? Because definitely with this system, you're going to arrive at a situation where a person is in there. With all of these interviews, not one thing, don't know this person and what. Then the refugee has to keep in there. So, and what does the refugee have to maintain? So let's, we'll come to that. Can we therefore, members, as it is agreed that this extension that your proposal, you can then add them, and as you add them, it's going to be now a draft three. Yes. It's going to be draft three. No, that's fine. That's fine. Because what, you see, or we can say draft two as amended.
Same thing.
Huh? Yeah, we can call it draft three. You can go, prepare it, print it, circulate it in principle. You have to read them again for us to understand that this is what we are dealing with. And then once you go for draft three, you can then circulate. Because we're going to have a meeting. And after that circulation, then we'll give the go ahead to publish. Is this fine? Yeah, because I don't want us to be holding. I think the discussion that we have had so much is around home affairs, it's immigration, it's citizenship, it's all of that. And we're dealing with minor clause in the Immigration Act that the Constitutional Court has said something. But it's opening up quite a number of things. But don't forget that there are a set of legislation in fact doing that deals with some of the challenges that we've been discussing here. It's not like Immigration Act is the sole act that governs any person that lives or leaves or comes, stays. There are many categories. There are refugees, there are asylum seekers, all of that.
So we'll then be able to receive the draft 3. Is there any further input you want to make after members have raised that concern? That is noted, other than they were saying that the proposal from honorable was saying that there's no seconder. Is there any other thing that you want to share with us that is in line with the draft and where we are now in the draft?
Just to refer us to
any point that you want.
Well, when we looked at sorry, Chair, through you, and Mr. Hussain indicated that we should be talking of illegal foreigners, that we have to. Section 34 speaks of that. So it's a ticket, but I just wanted to say that.
It's a fight for another day.
You see, what is revolutionary. You must understand that anything that is so, Hussain would take a fight. So we are all revolutionaries, Hussain. I'm happy that this committee would not use any party position, but all of us will be revolutionaries, ready to deal with issues that are confronting South Africa.
That's all, Chair.
That's a good thing. That's very exciting that we're taking the space of the year to fight us now. Yes, Mama. There's a point with me.
When we do the amendments, we also go back to the other amendments, and so you have to draft it in line with
in line with the...
You can't use different wording later because you've got other amendments as well.
In their immigration regime, they'll have to take that into account. Okay. I think it's made more humane than, you know, foreigners, you know. We call many names, in fact. You see, there are foreigners that African migrants are called Maguire, I'm one of them. Wherever you go, the more you are black, you call. Same applies with your Minister Manusi, you see, so dark. Remember, I said Minister. That is why the issue I was raising is that the mandate of immigration officers for you, for them to stop a person, they suspect you to be an illegal. What informs that? It's a very serious issue, by the way, because you are Chinese, you are Russians, you are what, a lot of them that are here, they move around free, right? No one talks, you know, there are many illegal immigrants who are white, right? No one stops them, generally. And the black ones are the ones that get so much, right?
You must complain.
No, I'm telling you, that his mindset was changed.
Wherever I go, people ask me if I'm from India.
No, when I'm here, if you're from Pakistan, I will get you from like Bangladesh, you know what? We must change the mindset. No, we're good. It's a struggle. That's what we must do. Okay, so we'll then receive draft 3. It will be circulated by the committee. It will be sent to all members. But in principle, we agree that that draft will then go out. We'll deal with the rest of the issues when but we must agree at what point it goes out, for how long, and then receive all public comments. There must be an advert that goes out with that response. And then, so you put up a guide together with the, on the process of the advert. When is there an advert to comment, right, on the team? And then the cost, you don't have money, it's the parliament that will pay, right, you put that response. And then the timeline is going to go out for what? For 2 weeks? 3 weeks? 30 days. 30 days, right? So we'll come back again after 30 days to look at the comments and all of that. It will be good maybe in between that the comments come in. You can begin to analyze them and then prepare such a report that can then be taken by members. Okay? So thank you very much, members. I think you've done well on the first line of the first line of the chair, the new chair.
Becoming a problem.
In fact, the former chair was trained by me in home affairs.
When I was chair of Home Affairs, he was a member of the committee. Yeah, sometimes that's why he's rigid and strong. No. Whatever that happened, but he was not a good member of Parliament, as a good chair, by the way. Okay. Now, the next agenda item that we are dealing with is the update on consideration of the progress by the research and legal services of the parliamentary on the early introduction of the Gupta family. I've received a letter from Honorable Hossein. But it was just a letter that sort of seems that the matter has been delayed now. And I'm not sure which other committee that's supposed to do that other than ourselves. But it is noted, Honorable Hossein, that you have raised the concern of the delay in the process. But I think that has sort of necessitated us to request the updates from those that you have passed. You have given the last meeting. We have given a responsibility to the committee section and the legal teams of Parliament to go out there, extract as much information as possible, submit that information before the committee so that the committee can be able to determine the nature and the approach that must take in dealing with it. And in principle, we have agreed that there will be such an inquiry. But that information is the one that will help us to determine the kind of inquiry that will be. Right? So that work, I think, is for the first time now it's serving the committee. It has never failed since the last meeting. So I'm going to ask you to take us through what have you done since we mandated you to do such work. Right? So let's hear you. I see there's a document, you can talk. There's a document that has been distributed. We'll then look at that document that is going to be guiding us on such matters. Yeah, no.
Chair, I'm fine for us to proceed as you suggested, but I just don't want to lose the point that I raised in the letter which I wrote. The closing paragraph of that letter relates to the 5 years summary. I'm happy for us to come back to it. I just want to flag the matter and then we can deal with it whenever we want.
Now, the issue of the fire blaze, I think we've agreed in the last meeting that there must be a delegation. We have received 8 presentations from the minister last time. And then we then agreed that from the committee side, we'll then have a small delegation, if it's not the entire committee, that must firstly go and have a first-hand observation of what is happening at the World Time Report. I think we have made the concern there. And a very serious concern of the point of entry, in fact the national people that are being occupied by private, wealthy families. We have made a point there. So it's the issue that now requires us as a committee now, rather than putting it for further discussion, to agree on what we have said, that would have a visit to our TAMO, the department will take us through, will invite the necessary other stakeholders that are involved in that arrangement. So that we can then find the present information. This is what we said. So there's no other discussions are issues that we have agreed upon. Right? So it's a matter of how therefore we proceed. Right? It's not a new thing. The fire blaze is the concern of this committee. And not only of this committee, now I think all kinds of the particular problem now that the national key points are for sale. You know, all the rich families are now occupying a corner there. It cannot be. I think we have agreed on the floor. It's for us now to move forward and deal with such matters. And we know that the court has given the permission. You may find that the Committee of Parliament is sitting up with the court now. It may apply. I mean, with the minister's appeal, We may want to deal with such matters. Maybe we may be the friends of the minister. I'm not sure. But I don't want to do that. But the committee has a particular responsibility. Can we get the report on the Gupta's and the work that has been done around the Gupta's citizenship?
Thank you, sir. Good morning, honourable members. The document before you is extracted from our agreed terms of reference from our last meeting. It's basically the federal content from that terms of reference with the completion date and the deadline that the committee set for itself or terms of reference. I've given an indication of what has been done and how we are actually behind schedule in some regards as raised. So for the first of those three steps there were the signing of letters to confirm the employment of stakeholders with the Department of Education. We've sent those letters out. Basically just confirming the corporate responsibility information that was supplied by the family in regards to the naturalization application. Secondly, communication with business and government entities, so both the Stock Exchange, the Department of Labor, and the private companies that have been contacted to request for information. We've also sent letters to the Department of Home Affairs indicating the request for a list of all the immigration officials who may have been involved in this particular period of time under review since the 2013 amendment of the Children's Act. And a list of the employees as well as permission to interview them if necessary because they work in a secure area and we require their consent of the EC to interview them. Then certainly we've also communicated with the schools, the principals that were implicated in the various schools listed by the in their application, requesting them for information. The next step then, also on the 28th of April, is with the call for public submissions. So now this hasn't proceeded because we are still waiting approval from the committee. And the delay in meeting with the committee in the past couple of weeks, as well as the temporary only having an acting chairperson, we've been advised to seek approval of approval for placing advertisements calling for public submissions once the chairperson has been appointed. So the basic intent for us to decide today is can we go ahead with the advertising, which is cost about between 50,000 and 100,000 newspaper calls for public submissions. We have, however, received one proactive submission from ALTA, the organization against tax abuse. In that regard, we've already started processing that information. Then, for the subsequent steps have also then been delayed because of these steps that haven't been followed. We still haven't received responses from the Northwest Provincial Education. The province, as members are aware, under administration at the moment, there is some turmoil in the province, including the education department. So they're under a certain amount of stress. We are following up with them, but the information isn't as rapidly forthcoming as we would like. The Department of Labor, we've contacted, and they haven't confirmed employment of staff yet because they required UIF of all the various Gupta companies, which we in turn needed to source from the Department of Labor. The list of all the related companies on the second page of this summary. So it's a complicated process. We're still trying to confirm UIF, and then in turn we'll be able to follow up on the actual employment numbers, which also contributed towards their approval of their citizenship application. So we have received confirmation from the CIPC, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, which basically lists the registration of companies. However, they only provided for OPAY investments and not for all the listed companies, so we've in turn requested them to verify all the subsequently listed then we had already made provisional plans to proceed with conducting interviews with the relevant identified permitting staff at the Department of Home Affairs, but again required the approval of the committee for the expenditure for myself and the legal advisor to go ahead and do those interviews ahead of time, as was agreed and or as was proposed in the terms of reference. We just need the, again, the consent and the go ahead of the committee to proceed with that, which will then now have to do in recess areas while things are away, or prior to then, and update the members accordingly. Then the invitations to clean performance. So again, the initial investigation with the permitting section, the information provided by the department and by the public submissions would in turn inform which are the key key informants that we need to actually bring to the committee to then interview. That process obviously won't proceed until we gather that information and process it. We have, however, met with PARI, the Public Affairs Research Institute, who were involved with the compiling and research around both the ESCOM and the Transnet inquiry. So it's a private academic organization, which is actually in the advanced stages of having a memorandum of understanding with Parliament for ongoing work. So there is an ongoing work with this organization which can help people report any relations that touch a vehicle features in the park. And we engage with them and we are awaiting that MOU. They will be assisting us with the compilation of the report and also with sourcing other forms of information, analyzing the information that we get. So that process is going to be done. Then the interviews will again depend on the information that's gathered and the initial report. So the post time there was from the 1st to the 8th of June, but given that there's been around a month's delay, particularly with the problems or the scheduling challenges of the Parliament, the proposed dates of all these things are going to be delayed by more or less a month. So the proposal then is to move forward the report by 1 month. So all these dates there where the X's are will then have around a month. And so in turn, the analysis date for compilation of information received will be the 5th of August rather than the 5th of July. But that will still be before members come back from recess, so there'll still be time to look at that information prior to being discussed by the committee. And then again, subsequent dates for the feedback from members and the discussion of the final report will in turn also be postponed by more or less a month with the committee involved. So that's where we stand at this stage. So the two things I'm standing for looking here. Basically the approval to go ahead to advertise, and secondly the approval for the support staff to conduct interviews. We also, however, do need support from the committee to have the Department of Home Affairs respond to us on who the permitting staff are and permission to interview them. So that they've not responded in time to information request. So we need to encourage them to respond as appropriately. The same with the Department of Labor and Education. We can go to the process of subpoenaing them and actually legally requiring the information, but we just want to carry things to cooperate. So that's what happens to say. And as I said, the page is just a list of the companies currently associated with their family members, and we'll be going to discuss it.
Now, members, you may you want to add the
not at this moment.
Look, the last engagement we have had with the mission of the committee was that
you are going to look at all the documents that have been submitted by the department, the minister, whoever that has given us information. Extract that information, identify key areas that we may want to do, like clarify and questions on, which then help us with the way forward. And I thought what you'll be serving us, part of it will be the conflicting information that we have received from different sources in the department, either the DG or the minister, because that's where the whole thing is centered around. I thought you'll be sharing with us such information before you even think of going outside, because that information for us is very important. We then talked of these other issues of schools that must be approached. I even went further, say that even the provincial premiers may have to be held accountable on such matters. We don't have some of them anymore in those positions. But the office still remains.
Yeah.
You know, you may want to escalate the matter to some provincial government to confirm such a contribution and donation from the base of these people having to acquire permanent citizenship in the country. You know, and these are areas that I thought are very critical for us as we engage with this matter. We view this matter very well. Now, for us, just to prioritize, let's go out for Albert, let's get the public comment. When we have not done much of the work that we're supposed to do, I don't feel that we've done it. You know, I really don't feel that we've done it. The work that must, so that for us to be able to break through this issue. You know, so members, but let's comment on this thing, and then let's without really having to water down what is being presented here, but just be focused again on what is important for us to deal with this. This thing must be resolved, it has to be resolved, and very easily it has to be resolved. We cannot be sitting with a matter that we can't do. It has to be resolved as a matter of order.
Yeah.
Let me give one over to Ghana, you come in, and then Khalifa, you come in. Thank you,
Chair.
Yeah.
Let me first congratulate you on your election as our new chairperson.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so I believe that you will work. Let me start by saying that I believe, and I want everyone to listen to me very carefully. I believe no one will be bought on this process. Let me repeat myself. I believe no one will be bought in this process. I know there are people with nice suitcases, whom are making sure that they water down everything that is happening against the voters.
Mm-hmm.
The reference that we have, as a lawyer you know, the reference that we have is a blank check for a public enterprise where they requested an advocate Navarra to stop or mislead the inquiry. I fully agree with our chairperson that, in fact, we commend what we have done, but it's not enough. And we wanted you not to start where you want. Do as we instruct you to do. Remember, I used to tell people that when you go to an attorney or advocate, you are the boss of that person. You must instruct him of what you want. And that person must do his best to make sure that you get what you want. Number two, the main people here in agreement with Honorable Chaud is the first person and the most and very important in this is the minister. Because the department told us that Warner, they rejected this, and the minister overturned their rejection. So that statement it must stay in our head. That which means the minister here is the first person to be interrogated to get more clarity from him. What are the reasons, even though the department tries to send us something after 6 months? And what was the involvement of Northwest Department and other ministries? Because Department of Education is involved in it. Please, those are the people that you are supposed to prioritize with. The DG told us, Secretary, you remember, you took the minutes. He said, no, here is our report. The committee rejected this application of the report. It's where I can account for. Remember? He said it's in the meeting, it's on record. So please let us make sure that we do that. The last one, because I don't want to populate this thing, the last thing that you must do, I would like the DC rather than the telephone. You know, I was taught that the message via telephone and face-to-face, mouth-to-mouth, is not the same. There are by the communicators, I'm not voting communication, but the communicators at least once told me that. And my last word is, please, please, please be careful. Don't take anything from anybody. Make sure that you stay on this matter and you do as we want. I thank you for now, Chair. Maybe I will come back. Let me say I pause here.
Okay, 1 minute.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Chair. Chair, I don't think there is much to say for now regarding this update, because most of the issues here are still waiting approval, not completed. In some, there are no responses at all. So hopefully, Chairperson will get the report ready, maybe when we come back in August, so that we can be able to engage further and finalize the report. That's what I can say. Thank you.
That is why it was important to look at the response and break down individuals who were given citizenship here by who. But you may deal with it here at the level of the last application. And you forget that this thing may date back to 1994, I mean 1995, and you don't look at 1995. Sign off by either a minister in 1995, 1996. I've not done that. And I thought, you know, when we're giving that money, just break down this whole issue of this concern. Break it down. Pair individual again, because some of them were given to the group, some of them is what. That's the information we're supposed to be giving us, say, this is what we have discovered, this is what we have found. From research, from legal, this is what these are the documents that I have got. You may not want to say, we're not going public when your foundation that you want to deal with is still not solid. Your foundation needs to be solid first, then you can then invite anyone that has information to come in. So if your foundation is my legal advisor, it is not solid. This thing may collapse. We may end up not achieving what we want to achieve. Maybe the point that all of the Ghana makes that it's a very serious matter that can be watered down. And that's not the intention of this committee.
Yeah,
and I think all of us have made it very clear that we have to go to the bottom of this matter, get to know
how these individuals can exist there given the leadership on top of all the problems that we now know. And that's a concern that all of you will say raise now. It seems this process is not moving. And there's never been up to, you know, if we'll agree that in between, because of this thing of not having, you know, a chair, always you have to appoint a chair, we'll have made an arrangement that as you go this way, you report to the chairperson of the progress. By the time the matter comes to the committee, all of us are satisfied that it can serve in the committee. You know, so, and I think it's one thing that it must happen moving forward. You know, and we have to agree on timelines now. The timelines that are here and which areas that you want. If you have a problem, the legal services know. You can subpoena a person to give information. Nothing stops you. We can immediately make the subpoena and people can be forced under the law to submit information that we want. Because Parliament must do its way. If Parliament must wait for a favor that, you know, we're trying to get the Department of Education, this department is not responding. What kind of Parliament work we're doing? You know? So let's agree that all these issues that are outstanding had to be submitted within a period of time that this committee must agree. So I've received and finished with this thing. But you need to zoom into where you are mandated to do. Because if you have managed to get all that information from the department, Department of Home Affairs will have to date back all that information of these individuals who have been applying, who have applied and granted citizenship. From when is this received citizenship? Who signed it off? What was the application? What qualified that person to watch for? So we are currently dealing with a general investment. These people brought investment. What investment then? You know, so my take, therefore, colleagues, is that the Parliament Research Unit together with the authorities to help us to extract this information that we have. But if we cannot get it, you can come and say we are unable to get this information from the president, then Parliament would have to use second means of getting it. So someone, constitution is there, the work that can do, the power of the committee. Someone, this individual, to appear before the committee and give us information that we want. Right? So let us agree that we'll have to approach this in that manner. Other than that, we're going to be talking and it's going to be headlines all the time. The Guptas. I'm already, I don't want to be part of a song that Chauke and the team are singing the Guptas song. Okay. It's there to be worked out, resolve this matter, get to know what happened, and then take a decision. That's all. What happened.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
No, Chair, I agree that we don't have an opportunity because this is not what we're expecting. If I remember very well, I thought that phase one, because we agreed to the phase one, will be defeated from our good lawyer to say that those documents that we submitted, because this is the only thing that we have as a committee. So we gave it to them to say, go and check this thing if it's authentic. We thought that today we were going to receive that feedback. And then this one, I think there's nothing except that they are telling us that they don't have power.
Mm-hmm.
But here we do understand it's just because maybe we had an acting chair, because ordinarily, if they are not getting what they are looking for, they're supposed to come to the chair to say, listen, we don't have a report because of that case. So we'll forgive them with that reason. Now we have a chair. When you go and do your work, when you start, go to the chair to say that, I don't have a report because this is a waste of time. Yesterday, there was a media press statement from the parliament. It was also confusing as well. It was not about our decision that we took as a committee, and I was not even here. When I saw that media release to say that we have postponed this matter because we have to also to get a report and to determine if we are going to proceed with this inquiry. And that is not our resolution of the committee. Yeah, it was released by Parliament.
But here now, at least because we are here to correct that, we are very clear to say that phase one is supposed to get a feedback about the document. It does not mean that if we have received the report, that will be the end of the process. We are very clear. We have to go all out. Secondly, is what you are saying, Chair, is let us get information within the department. Even in this report, this is not a report in addition. We can't be told today that the Department of Home Affairs does not even respond. What is that? It's our department. They are the ones who are supposed to help us about this issue. If they are quiet, the two chair comes in Parliament to say even the officials of the department are not cooperating on this issue. As Congressman Gekane was saying, if people are caught in this process, we are not going to allow that. And I'm very happy that we all agreed with ANC members, unlike in other committees. We are hearing that in other committees, ANC is mandashi, like in water and sanitation. But here, we are here to guide against that change. So I'm very happy, Chair, that all of us, we agreed with this matter, won't be buried. So I appreciate that we put this matter and then come with
okay, us. Okay. Well, let's agree that what we should do is that let me sit with the legal advisor and the research and the committee.
Yes.
Rework those areas that do not clear. Rework them so that we now know that this is the information that we wanted, right? And we expect that if it's in the department, it is. So there's no way that the department can say we don't know, right? Mm-hmm. 30 days back, you look at who signed what. You know, you may find that the current minister signed only for 1%. You know, you may find that because we don't know now, right?
Mm.
Or you signed for 10 people, you don't know. But go back and look at all those people that so what's called were naturalized. By who, at what point. Yeah? And that process again is that there's a parliamentary process again. But was that information served from Parliament of this individual? That's why we end up asking the last time that the department for the last 10 years must give us all the names of people who were naturalized. And we can even check how many of them those were naturalized, their names are served and approved by Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So, these are things that are very important. So the department cannot just leave it there, that we naturalize people and Parliament is not informed. And it's a point that Mama Begay has said that we are not even so many people that are South Africans, but who are not even supposed to be. At some point. Because the law is very clear that if you do that, you must be able to deliver a report in the National Assembly for the National Assembly to approve it. You know? So that process is very important. So I think with the legging that you have done here, let's just reinforce on information that we want and the targeted people that we want to give us information and put up a clear timeline. If they don't meet the timeline, then we can then involve the second section of supplementary information. Because once we have all the information, we can then determine the nature of the inquiry wants to go.
Because
in principle, we have agreed that we have to have it. But you cannot have it if you don't have information. So you need to lay your foundation to be solid for you to be able to call the next person to come in account. You also need to come in and then.
Chair, I'm in agreement with the broad comments that have been made thus far. I just want to satisfy myself that we all understand each other's direction and this is right. And I'm glad we had the conversation because I think Adam and our good legal advisor have got a little bit more clear direction in terms of exactly what it is we want. I mean, we had that opportunity to have that engagement. We took decisions that didn't really provide that direction. So to recap quickly, Chair, the very first time we dealt with this issue, if I recall, was after the document or the instruction that came from Frolic that we probe state capture and that Home Affairs looked into. So ultimately the headline of this inquiry, as far as I'm concerned, is related to state capture. And the naturalization of the Gupta family is one of those things that involves directly the Home Affairs Committee. But it's not the only thing. Because since then, we agreed that under the under the headline of state capture, we probed the Gupta family nationalization. I then brought in a further correspondence to the Mashire at the time, where I pointed out a number of other members of the Gupta family that we needed to look into. The initial five that we were responsible for the additional members. Then, Chair, you would recall that in the last, I know you won't recall because we were not there then, we also agreed that we were going to broaden the inquiry to include some of the employees of the Gupta related companies such as NM7 in terms of how they acquired their paperwork, their papers to work in Colombia. So it was beyond just the naturalization. It included the involvement of home affairs in work permits and all the other permits for employees. And I just wanted Adam to just maybe explain whether this covered that, I wasn't sure. Then, Chair, you touched on something very important just now, which was another point that was made in your actions, which we agreed to, that not only should we probe this Gupta nationalization, but we should look deeper into all citizenship applications that was granted by Home Affairs so that we can understand exactly what was going on there. Then was the issue of the fire blade, which I raised in the previous committee. And then the last one, Chair, was the cancellation of the passport, I think, Honorable Takana, which is the decision that we took as the committee. So the reason why I'm raising that is just to put it all into one basket, and it was on the basis of that Adam presented the last time a set of terms of reference, which we did our very best to ensure that it was as broad enough as possible to include any further investigations or inquiries if this new information comes to light that we can have in this new understanding of reference to that. So it's those six things that I'm putting on the table so that we can just get a response from and make sure that Adam and the rest of the team are working to get to the bottom of those things. And it's not just the book on nationalization, to be honest.
Adam, can you do any comments?
Just any comments so that we come to some kind of the closure and then have the list that I've already proposed.
And then tap into what is important to me. But the breakdown is very important. And this issue that you have raised, some of these leaders, people who are given permits and all of that, and I raised that matter the last time. In fact, I even referred members to go and read the book written by one of the chefs that exposes how Home Affairs were captured around the issue of work permits and all of that. It's a very, very important point that we have to get. You may want to give me as well, only, and then leave the rest of the people as they go to the So we'll have to look at that. But we have to agree that when we come back in August, all this information must be available. Cannot carry on for too long. This information must be available. And then the first meeting of the committee, when it sits, it must be announced. So you are going to have enough time to get whoever that wants every document, assess every document that has been presented here. The department must cooperate to give us information that we want. All the information that we want, we must list it and write to the department via the minister here. I'll sign off that letter and ask the minister to give us the following information to instruct the director general of the department to collect, to prepare that information and must be submitted. It's clear timeline. Can you agree on that?
We have actually, in fact, looked at that letter already. I can provide you with a copy of it.
Who signed the letter?
The previous minister. We requested a bunch of information, including the broader naturalization process, the citizenship status operating procedures, the indication of the revoking of so all communicated to the department. We're still, I guess, as I said, waiting for that information. We have already in the draft, in terms of reference, provided a summary of the information that was provided to us up until that point, which was a significant amount. We are then now using the subsequent information that we've already sought through public permission from ALTA, the book that the chairperson is referring to, as well as the information available in the public sphere, to start doing an interim report. But again, we were just sticking towards the timeline set out in the reference, which were in a particular procedure, in a particular set of processes. So, I mean, we could provide what is already out there that we've already got, but we still are sending some pretty key information. We need to make sure that we corroborate what we've already got before we provide a summary. So at this stage,
that's fine.
So this is what was supposed to be submitted to the committee. The members can further publicize by giving them, this is the work that is done so far, this is the information that they have. Rather than, you know, this is what we are still going to do. And so the advert must wait first for now until you lay this foundation on information that you want. Okay? And I think 10 years later, you will say, numbers one is not that you want. So, right? You don't want black zero thing. Like, your child will definitely.
Chairman, I just ask that if the documentation is ready, that it please be circulated well in advance before we meet.
That's fine. I'll affirm what they have now. I'll sit with the committee and legal team just to assess what has been managed, what we have managed to bring in, and then from there we'll take it from there. And I'll tell you that which information that will go out public now. And which one? But we'll make sure that before that meeting, since in August, all members have information so that they can study it on their own. But please, again, as members, we're saying you guys have a lot of things to get. Get us information, whatever that you can get.
I've given it already.
Help us with that. Okay. All right. So can we agree that this matter will then is a work in progress? We are, you know, we're not much happy about the work done so far, but we want to reinforce you to zoom into the key areas that we want you to zoom in and then get that information, okay? But thank you very much with the work that you've done. Now, we're done with this part now. For now, it's a work in progress. In August, when we meet in August, we then have the final, meaning that information that we want, that would then lay the foundation for us to start to the inquiry. Okay? We don't have a quorum members with regards to the, but when the meeting started there was a quorum.
Yes.
We may have to proceed or may postpone the minutes. Part of what we'll do is that the fireplace for say we have to look at the day during the committee week, look at the day in which we do the our time effort. Right. I'll consult with the committee section and communicate with members, and then we'll have to go and see that fireplace thing. And then we must get the letters from the Minister of those who are applying for same arrangement. You remember the Minister that time said there are a number of people who have applied for that. We must get them. In fact, maybe as part of it, you can even invite them to come and tell us why do they have an interest in our national people. Nothing's proper. Send a letter that I want to occupy your national people and Parliament may want to invite you and tell us why there's so much interest in occupying your national people. But nonetheless, let's get that information from the minister. Let's follow that appeal. Let's make sure that the committee is able to follow up on the process that the minister has agreed that he's waiting back on the appeal. Where is the appeal and all of that, you know? And those documents become public documents, in fact. Once he has filed with those who have been funded, and it will become public documents. At what point does it become public documents?
As soon as the documents are filed,
Let's get that information ourselves. Okay, so let me. I guess.
When it becomes public.
You can even change your setting, you can go to the court and the register.
Exactly. Let's get that information. You know, we may even want to invite him now to come and share with us what area is closed. By that time, it's going to be public information. You may want to invite him to share with us his approach to this whole thing. Because that time it was still subdued. We did not want to get into the details. But now that if it's already filed there, it's public, you may want to engage in such meetings. But those who are responsible for our national key point, I know that Home Affairs play a particular role there. Remember the landing of the airport at the Butters Loop, and other national key points. In fact, I think we must get aid discharging around the national key point there.
The National Key Point Act is not administered by Home Affairs,
yeah.
It's State Security or SAPS.
Yeah, we may want between ourselves and that committee responsible. Maybe have a joint meeting with if it's police or whoever, and invite them just to have a discussion around them. But we are core partners when it comes to National Key Point. You know, because that committee, unless what do you call that new committee? Not no BOTC. What do you call this new regime that they are bringing?
BMA.
Yeah. BMA, does it take into account this issue that I'm bringing? Huh?
Yeah. It doesn't even.
Exactly. You see now. And Home Affairs wants to be the leader there. But Home Affairs does not know who's in charge of Port of Venice. But wants to be the leader there. How do you lead when you don't know who's doing what? If I was chair, then I would have rejected that deal. I would say to say that. Go and try next door. You're not already.
No, you came late.
but nonetheless, the bill is on there. It's going to be passed, going to be law. We'll engage around the issues of the law. All right, members, we'll then postpone the minutes of the meeting. We'll then develop a new program for the committee. In August, when we meet, I know that we're not going to be having enough time. But when we may meet with a new program. Just that will come to there. For us, you know, August, September, so I know it's an election year, we don't have much work. But what is very important is for Home Affairs and the IT for election. Yesterday I was in a meeting with the IT, and it's clear that we still have a lot of challenges, especially with your smart card and all of that. So there's a need that we may want to invite Home Affairs and look at their response to in preparation for the national election. That is going to be part of the problem. That the new chair is now being into the community because I have a particular interest around the role of Home Affairs as we prepare the election. Okay. On that note, the meeting then stands again and thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.